Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. These last few weeks from Luke's gospel are starting to unravel like a good Hollywood movie. The hometown boy gets baptized, hears God proclaim how loved he is, gets sent into the desert to be tempted, survives, and then returns home for some fanfare and celebration of his accomplishments. Only the plot twists and turns as the hometown hero is rejected and thrown out of the synagogue and banished to the high hill where he is supposed to meet his doom. But he slips through their fingers to live for another day. We've all probably been to the movies. We can admit that, all of us at least once in our lifetimes. I don't go as much as I used to, but that's okay. Have you ever gone to the movies and sat down in that front row, maybe the first or second row at a 3D IMAX movie with the curved screen? And when you sit down there in that front row, everything gets played out right in front of you. You find yourself stretching like this and looking from side to side as a person walks across a room in the movie. You're right there in the middle of the action. I think also of the rides at Disney, where you sit in a car or a spaceship or whatever, and the action happens and makes you part of it. Rides like the Great Movie Ride, A Bug's Life, Stitch's Great Escape, are all examples of rides that put you right into the action. One of my favorite rides at Disney is called Soarin', and it's the hang gliding ride where they sit you in a chair and your feet dangle and you're only this far off the floor, but when the screen starts, you feel like you're actually out there in the air flying around. It's amazing. You feel as though you're part of the action. And not that I would actually ever go hang gliding. I'm not sure that I would. I have a fear of that. But that ride always makes me feel like I could if I wanted to. But the fear always stops me. And that's what brings me to the readings from today. There's a lot of fear in our readings. But I want to set the stage for today's gospel, set the movie setting, if you will. A few weeks ago, we heard the story of how Jesus went to the River Jordan to be baptized by John, and a voice from heaven appeared. In some Gospels, everyone heard the voice. In other Gospels, only Jesus did. And that's one of those fine details that's right now not significant. Either way, the voice says, "You are my beloved, in you I am well pleased." And I would like to think that that kind of affirmation for any of us would have us hopping and skipping and jumping in exultation, joyous exultation. But that doesn't happen. Jesus gets sent to the desert where he's tempted by the devil. It's not until quite some time, 40 days, in fact, that he returns. But yet when he goes out to the desert and when he returns, Scripture tells us that he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to today's story. After beginning his ministry, preaching and healing through the Galilee region, Jesus returns home to Nazareth. Luke says he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath as was his custom. Those are actually the words. So for Jesus, this group was not a group of strangers for him. This was the town Jesus had grown up in, and he was now around 30 years of age. I can't imagine this was his first time reading from the Torah scroll in the synagogue. Last week we heard he read a passage from Isaiah about being anointed by the Spirit to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovering sight for the blind and freedom for the oppressed. He sits down. People have heard the things that he has said and done in other towns, in other regions. They're probably proud of him, sitting, and they're sitting on the edge of their seats, waiting to hear what he will say and do in his own hometown synagogue. They didn't expect this, though. Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Meaning right here, right now, Jesus says to them, "Here it is, right now." And as much as we think we would like to hear words such as these, I don't think anyone is really ever prepared for or expecting them. The scripture is fulfilled right here, right now. And all Jewish people have been raised on the litany when the Messiah comes, along with other words such as "no more suffering," "there'll be no more loss," "no more sadness," "no more hunger." And for us, we too have our own litanies that we hope for. A better job, a happier family, an easier time of school, perhaps. More money, better health, that list goes on, you name it. And yet when we pray for a new job and one is offered, sometimes we're likely to say, "Well, that's not really the one I wanted." And when a person offers to help with schoolwork, we might find ourselves, well, I really didn't want to have to work at it more. I just wanted it to be a little easier. And when Jesus announces that the Jewish hopes had been fulfilled in him, what his friends and neighbors had to say was, isn't this Joseph's son? Like, hey, wait a minute. What's happening here? I can just imagine the rest of the rumblings. Well, I used to change his diaper when he was little. Ah, I remember when he ran through my flower garden. I remember when he went to my window and tapped on it. I remember him as a child, mischievous. Hey, has he been to school for this? I'm sure they also muse, hang on there a second. He hasn't done a single one of those miracles we've heard him do in other towns. Someone else. This sure sounds like a scam to me. And it's here that the movie hits its pivotal point. And Jesus, knowing what they're thinking and expecting from him, reminds his neighbors that in the time of Elijah, there were lots of widows in Israel who needed help. But the one God sent Elijah to, the one he helped, lived inside him and was not of the Jewish faith. And in Elijah's time, there were plenty of lepers in Israel. But the one God chose to heal was Naaman, a general in the hated army of Syria. And Jesus uses these examples because he wants to make the point that not only is the scripture fulfilled with him, but that God's grace is available to all. He picks two stories about prophetic ministry to people who were not part of Israel. They were not part of the people of Israel. And this was ministry done on behalf of those who are not part of the hometown crowd. And Jesus wants those listening in his hometown synagogue to recognize that God's goodness isn't just for them. It's for everyone. His point hit to the center of their fallacy. They were believing in God and that he owes you the good stuff because of who you are and where you live. The people of Nazareth were so enraged by this, by Jesus' words, that they left the synagogue and drove him up the mountain outside of town and intended to throw him off the cliff. What happened to the hometown hero? The movie has just had a plot twist, and not necessarily for the better. When Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, scripture tells us, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But when Jesus hits them where it hurts, when he speaks to their self-centered way of thinking, telling them that God is available to everyone, even those outside of their Jewish faith, they turn on him. And this is where the fear is. I said earlier, there's fear in the readings. It's fear that keeps the people of Nazareth from seeing what's right in front of them. Jesus' hometown listeners feared what he was saying. They feared his words. They feared his words, and they reached out and reacted in a negative way. It's like Jeremiah we heard this morning, saying to God, I'm only a boy. That's a whole other sermon. I'm only a boy. I'm only a person. I'm only a human. I'm only a teacher. I'm only a mother, a father, or whatever. That's a whole different sermon. You'll hear that one 3 years or 2 years from now. But I'm only a boy, he says, out of fear. And even when God says to him, go and do as I say, Jeremiah's fear prevents him from seeing what's right in front of him. He's lucky, though. God, right there, right then, touches his mouth and provides him with what he needs. And Jesus, here he is, he's in his hometown synagogue, before his hometown crowd, ready to give them what they need. He says, right here, right now, scripture is fulfilled. And they miss the opportunity. So what about us? Always come back to us somehow in these things every week. We know who Jesus is. We know he died on the cross for us. And we need to remember that even when Jesus was going out into the desert and when he was returning, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was never without protection and guidance. And that same protection, that same Holy Spirit is available to us. It's available to everyone. And today's readings are a reminder not to be afraid. A reminder that in spite of our shortcomings and fears, we have available to us a Savior who loves us. No matter your background, your station in life, your circumstances, where you live, what you do, that list goes on and on. God is with you. He asks us, do we want to be part of the action from the front row? Or do we want to sit in the back row simply as bystanders, watching without ever really feeling what it's like to be in the middle of the action? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What shall we do with that knowledge? Amen.